Good evening and welcome to Word on Wine, a program which explores the history and culture of the world's favorite beverage. I'm Jonathan Polevsky. Joining me in the studio, WBJC's Mary Zajac. Good evening, Mary.
Good evening, Jonathan.
Eric Asimov has blessed us with yet another really fascinating article on wine and wine reviews and the way we have been reviewing wine for decades now.
Yeah, I think this is really an evergreen piece, so I want to share the date, even though I know we sometimes go into reruns and you may not be hearing this in a recent incarnation, but this is from the New York Times June 19th, 2019 edition, and the name of the article is Wine Criticism Reconsidered. Asimov is marking Robert Parker's retirement from the wine criticism business. He's been 30 years reviewing, started the newsletter called The Wine Advocate. And Parker was just so influential in wine for the last 30 years. He started a point system to review wines. And when we think about when he started in 1982, this was a time when there wasn't a great amount of wine available in the United States like it is now, the diversity of wine. And there wasn't the diversity of wine drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really trying to introduce people to wines, to their quality, what to look for. And so much has been said and written about how his palate has really influenced the wine world today and what he was championing at the time, which were really fruit-forward wines in an era when really there was, in some areas, not as much quality.
Well, but that was our wine. That was our wine in America, was this incredible, bold, fruit-forward wine, which wasn't anywhere else, and we provided this whole new possible palette of things.
And to be fair, there were places in the world where there wasn't as much attention being paid to wine quality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, quality and flavor profile aren't necessarily the same thing, but he certainly made a certain style popular and a certain way of talking about wine popular. And what Asimov is arguing, among other things in this article, and I really would urge people to read it because there's so many points that we can't even cover here. At this time, he's asking, what is the role of the wine critic? And is it really to give you scores so you can go out and buy wine based on somebody else's opinion of what that wine should be? Or is it really, as he says, the most valuable thing wine writers can do is to help consumers develop confidence enough to think for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan, this is something that you and I have talked a lot in terms of encounters with sommeliers in restaurants or shopping at your local wine store, that the whole point is if you really like wine, you want to learn about wine and you want to develop your own idea of what appeals to you, of what your taste is.
Mm-hmm. As they said when I was learning to fly, you're the pilot, and that means you're responsible for all this. And ultimately, you're the person who has to drink the wine, so you're the person who has to be happy with the wine. On the other hand, learning things and going outside your comfort zone is so important, whether it's music or wine or food or anything, because if you never go outside your comfort zone, you never learn anything. At this point, when Robert Parker is retiring from being a person who was so significant in how we approached wine, I have to say Robert Parker, on balance, has done far more good than harm in introducing wine to millions of Americans.
And Asimov cites, and this isn't damning with faint praise, he cites Parker's enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is no small thing in getting people interested in wine. And his own story is one that many people can relate to. His parents were not wine drinkers. I believe they might have even been teetotalers. He discovered wine when he made a trip to France to visit his girlfriend, now wife, who was studying abroad, and they went out to dinner, and he had wine, and it was a revelation. And I mean, really, that's how I think so many Americans are now coming to it. So many of us didn't come from wine-drinking families or families that were drinking high-end wine. And so this idea that it is an approachable beverage, it is something you can learn more about, is really appealing and not to be underestimated.
Of course, things are going to change in 30 years, too. I mean, the wine world has changed so dramatically. When I first started looking at wine, nobody took American wine seriously. American wine was a joke. California wine was, you know, nobody took it seriously. Nobody thought about South African wine seriously, or New Zealand wine, or Australian wine, or wine from the New World, Chile, Argentina in general. All of those incredible producing wine countries now were basically thought of as producing substandard quality products. This has totally changed. Now we think of the wine world in its entirety, old world and new world, as equals.
That's part of what I see as your and my mission, Jonathan, is to introduce people to a variety of wines, maybe explain things that you didn't know about that maybe seem daunting. But it does make you sort of question, what is our role? Asimov says wine writers have so much to offer beyond the bottle reviews. For instance, introducing unfamiliar regions, grapes, and producers while revisiting old ones, offering critical appraisals of styles, and assessing what's new and what's ripe for discovery. And what he's saying is this all goes beyond the score. To me, the score, if you're new to wine, maybe it's a way to sort of get you in the ballpark, to steer you towards things you might want to try. But it's the first step. It's the first step to learning what fits you. If you're buying wine just by scores, and believe me, I know people who did this when I worked in the business. I had customers who had deep pockets that only wanted to buy by scores. And I respect your decision to spend your money however you want to do it, but you're really cutting yourself short. You're buying to somebody else's palate.
It's funny you should use the word score, because that, of course, is the musical word for the actual text. And, of course, music is beyond the score. It's beyond what's printed on the page. It's how it's interpreted. It's brought to life. And you are the person, and maybe our job is to bring wine to life. Maybe our job is to bring our enthusiasm and our excitement. And, oh my gosh, if wine isn't fun, then what can be fun? I mean, this is something that should be enjoyable. This shouldn't be Dienst, you know, this shouldn't be duty. This should be something that should be fun and enjoyable and one of the great pleasures in life.
And adventures in life.
Adventures in life.
We think of all the stories that we end up sharing because of wine, whether it's geography, it's history, it's personal, it's culinary, it's geographical, it's climate.
Yeah.
It touches everything. It's really a beautiful mission.
I think so, too. So, for Word on Wine, I'm the enthusiastic Jonathan Pilevsky.
And I'm the equally enthusiastic Mary Zajac.
Cheers.
Cheers.